into tonight is this, that everyone has these questions that they carry around in them, and they're not always the same. In fact, they're all unique to each and every one of us. However, they come from similar inspirations. And there's so many. I discovered this when I discovered. I began to notice this. God began to help me see it when I was coming home from Bible school and then at different points in my life. You begin to get conflicting, kind of like, well, this person says this, and this person says this, and this person says this. Which whenever I do this, I think of Plankton, the fish from Finding Nemo. And he found his little boy, and his little boy had a question in the movie about sea turtles. And Plankton goes, Plankton. Plankton's from SpongeBob. Marlin is the fish from Finding Nemo. Now we're all on the same track. So Marlin says to his little boy, Nemo, obviously Finding Nemo, he says, I saw a sea turtle and he was 150 years old. And then his little son, who's just recovering from being kind of stunned in all the the finale action, goes, 150? But Sandy Plankton says he only lived to be 100. He's contradicting his dad, who actually met a sea turtle in person. But Sandy Plankton, you know, his little neighbor buddy, said, they only lived to be 100. And he's like, Sandy Plankton, you don't think I swam halfway across the ocean? I don't know a little bit more than Sandy Plankton. Here's the point. We can get conflicting information from people and from ministers, not because they're bad. I mean, sure, they may have different levels of ignorance, and I don't mean that in a judgmental way. They just may not know everything about that subject, or maybe doing the best they can with what they got. People aren't complete. We go by their heart. I mean, man, I know some ministers who have just the best spirit. But on some subjects, if they were honest, just be like, I have no idea, is what they really should say. But where can we go to get a solid answer for our lives? And we've got to go back to the source. We've got to go back to our source. We've got to go back to God. I like what Jesus said. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Which means he's saying to us, I am the Father revealed. I am the Father personified. I am the Father in the flesh. You got me, you got him. But he also said this, and we've referenced this in a previous training block, Matthew chapter 11 at the end, verse 28, 29, 30, he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Do you know what's part of rest for our souls? Is getting answers to questions. Getting answers to questions. Now, let me say this as we dive right in. I've asked him questions before that were pressing. And I need an answer. Did he give me the whole scope of the universe? Let's go back to how I made the atom. No, he showed me what I needed to see. He showed me simple things right here, right now. But as I stuck with him over time, he took that simple first step, immediate, okay, I got it. I see some light on this, and this is really helping me. And it began to be more, and he added more to it. He added more to it. He added more to it. God has both immediate answers, and then he has long-term answers, if you'll stick with him. But we made that decision together recently as well, that man, blessed be God, I'm sticking with him. He's my best friend, and I'm his best friend. I'm sticking with him. Well, you're going to end up by doing that with that kind of commitment. You keep going back to him. You keep going back to him, and you're giving him time to keep adding on. Because listen, you and I both know we are finite human beings. I can't have God unveil to me the secrets of the universe in, 20 minutes of sit down in my favorite reading chair. It's going to take a little more time than that. throughout the ages to come, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be impressed and blown away by the goodness of God. Well, ages to come is a long time. But here's what we want you to hear for now. He does have answers for you right here and right now. And we got to build on this a little bit too. We have some other training blocks already on hearing his voice. He can teach you. And he can teach you easily. You're not going to have a burning bush or an audible voice or an open-eyed vision. Those things are great, but you may go your whole life and have one of those occurrences happen, or none. There's people who have been absolutely brilliantly successful believers, blood covenant best friends with God, who have gone their whole lives and never had a vision. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not some lesser Christian. You just didn't have one. It's no big deal. But you do have what he's given to all of us. You do have the indwelling person of God, the Holy Spirit. And that is more, thank you, Lord, having the Holy Spirit dwell on the inside of you and on the inside of me is more supernatural and more, it is the pinnacle of supernatural. I've never said it like that before, but it's absolutely the truth. Having an occurrence happen, Peter said this, we were on the mountain with him, talking about Jesus. We heard the audible voice of God. And referencing the written word of God, he said, we have a more sure word of foretelling. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of edification. What does he mean by a more sure word? We have something more reliable than the audible voice of God. Listen, when the echo fades, it was a marvelous experience. But what about tomorrow? We have something consistent from him that we can have every day. And he can talk to us through it, and he can teach us with it. Because he's living on the inside of us. Let's just refresh on something real quick and go back to the beginning, a foundation scripture for what we talk about. Go to Psalms 23, where we told you in the beginning to open up. 23rd chapter of Psalms. Let's look at this. Psalm 23. Well, in the verse, it says this, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Let's reference that verse from the Passion Translation in Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the most important verse in the whole New Testament. Because a blood covenant that doesn't give you an absolutely rock-solid best friendship with God is incomplete. This lets us know that our new covenant, the new and better covenant, as the book of Hebrews says, is complete by knowing that God has made us his very own righteousness. And has pronounced that we are his very own righteousness, and has pronounced that he has made us his very best friends. Thank God. Well, then let's look at this. Let's approach this with a different mindset now. We're not getting questions answered by a faraway, almighty, untouchable God. He is almighty. But we're getting answers to questions that are really when I say pressing, I don't want you to only think that the only questions you can ask God are the dire life or death, you know, do I have the surgery? Do I have the not? By all means, you can ask him that. And you better ask him that. But I'm talking about also the everyday things like, I don't understand what's going on here in this social situation. Help me with this. I got a question about what to do about our vehicles. What about this thing I'm studying, I'm just in the Bible. Help me make heads or tails of this. Teach me about this. Anything in your heart that is hooked on, any question, they're kind of like as you walk through a tall grass and things hook onto your clothes. Questions are kind of like that. Things that have hooked onto you that, listen, don't even let them cool off, as they say, in your hands. Go ahead and take them right to God and ask him. But here's an important part. Give him time to answer. give him room to answer. So when we brought up that scripture about God has made us his very best friends and that the Lord is my shepherd and my best friend, We're getting our answers from our blood covenant best friend. We're getting answers from the best friend who says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He won't fail us. That he's sticking with us. Man, Jesus himself said, hey, the world will come crashing down around you and end, but I'm with you always. Man, that's the person who's giving us answers to our questions. And that's the subject of what we wanted to dive into tonight, getting answers to your questions. Now notice, your questions, God wants to answer them. God wants to answer them. Man, that's such, just hearing that, I feel relief in my own heart. So it's our best friend who answers our questions. It's God, our best friend. It's the one who's sticking with us when everybody else ain't. He's our best friend, and he's the one who answers our questions. Now, over in the fifth chapter of John, the Lord reminded me of this as I was getting ready for this session with you. Check this out. John chapter 5. This has helped me so many times. I'm in Romans, not John. Hey, I thought that didn't look right. John chapter 5. Now look at this in verse 19. Then answered Jesus, if you're in my King James, and said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, I'm telling you the truth, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. How do we apply that to what we're talking about? Listen, real quick. We can't get the answers to our questions out of our own intellect. You can accumulate information, but the answer that comes that gives you confidence, that puts you at ease, that reassures your mind, that also gives you a step forward and a step to take, that shows you a plan of how to do what you need to do. Lord, what do I do about this? You could search through all the files in your mind. The answer isn't in there. So let's cut that out right away and do what Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Don't rely on your own understanding. It's useful, but it's not where we put our trust. I'm putting all my trust in him, and I'm not trusting in my own mind. But the specific application for that right now is this. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Thank you for giving me an answer to this. Show me what to do. I like that Paul's first interaction with God personally, with Jesus, the resurrected anointed one, the resurrected Christ. He says, Lord, what would you have me to do? The first interaction he has is a question. What do I do now? Everything I thought was so, it ain't so. You really are the Christ. And I was wrong and you're right. And my whole life's been turned upside down. What do I even do now? And you know, the first thing Jesus did was answer his question. He said, go into the city, into this such and such place, and it'll be told to you what you must do. Reassured him, patted him on the, gave him a little pat on the butt, and sent him on his way, so to speak. I mean, he didn't, you know what I mean. He didn't really. He may have. I wasn't there. But he reassured him and got him on his way by answering his question. Notice that. By answering his question, he got reassured and sent on his way, and his life never slowed down from there. From the jump, God was establishing, hey, ask me, and I'll tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Now, John chapter 5. Let's go back to there real quick. The 19th verse of John chapter 5, the Son can do nothing of himself. So we've established that you and I can't just out of our own intellect give ourselves answers. He said, but what he sees the Father do, notice, sees it. Does that mean he'll see it in front of his face? Or he'll have an open vision? That means it's revealed to him. There is an inward revealing where suddenly you just go, man, I see it. It's like light dawned on you, like the clouds departed, or clouds parted like curtains, or suddenly you can just see an idea, a concept. Some of my old mentors from back in the day called it illumination came to their minds. Illumination. Something you couldn't see, you can now see it. Well, that's just as much God communicating and speaking to us as him talking to us in, you know, verbal sentences in our hearts. Don't just think speaking in God's voice as in talking. Also think God speaking as communication. Communication. Listen, you and I can be out to dinner and you can ask me a question and, you know, we're in a crowded room and I may not want to, you know, shout over top of the noise, but if you look at me and go, you could show me a picture on the menu and be like, you know, as in like, do you want this? And I can go, and I can just nod up and down and, you know, eyes wide and smile even wider and give you two thumbs up. Have I said anything? No. Have I communicated? Absolutely. Oh, I've communicated. This is for my friend up in Ohio in the Columbus area. He and I went to get barbecue. And, it was some good barbecue. But let me tell you this. I never thought I'd find good barbecue north of the Mason-Dixon line. However, there was some good barbecue in Ohio. You know, so that shows me that my biases were needing to get fixed. And so I saw this sampler platter. And this sampler platter looked amazing. And I said, give me the sampler platter. Because my friend had said, give whatever you want. I'm like, well, I'm getting the sampler platter. Because I like variety. I want to get a little bit of everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying. So I said, give me the sampler platter. And this skinny hipster behind the counter just went, sir, that feeds four. I said, well, I'll just get a sandwich. What I should have said was, I know. Give me the sampler platter. Give me the sampler platter anyway and stop complaining. So communication. I was thinking this story about a man who said this about the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. And this is in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. That the inward witness is an inward communication, an inward signal, an inward approval. An inward yes or an inward no. He's bearing his witness. He's giving witness. He's giving his testimony. Using all these different words to show it's an inward communication from the Holy Spirit. And he said the most important thing that he'll give his yes and approval about is that you've been made God's very own child. Well, there's nothing more important to have his stamp of approval, his yes, his thumbs up, his witness about than that. And it's in there right now, he says. So that shows us something very specific from the beginning, that God's communication is consistent. Well, how's that going to help us get our questions answered? Because if you don't hear it the first time, or you don't even think hear it. I want you to set it aside thinking about hearing with you know, the natural organic hearing devices on our skulls, you know, the ear canal and things like that. I want you to think receiving his communication, perceiving what he's transmitting to you. You have the ability on the inside of you as a believer and a best friend of God to receive and perceive his communication. Whether he shows it to you, whether he speaks it to you, whether he just broadcasts it to you, transmits it to you, it's consistent. It's going to keep on coming. So let's say you didn't pick up on it the first time. You've been, you know, maybe, you know, just addled all day at work and a little bit harassed and you're not really thinking about, you know, what he's saying to you. And you're just maybe one of those kind of days and you ask him a question. He's responding. He's quick to respond. No, it's not him with any issue of, we're never talking God into communicating with us. We don't have to beg him. We don't have to twist his arm. What we're doing is looking to stay always in tune, stay always able to perceive. There's got to be a better way to say that. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Ah, I like that. Stay always ready to pick up on it. And it's a lot easier than you may think. It's a lot easier than you may think. It just takes some also being quiet. Being quiet. The Old Testament talks about meditation. And sure, it's been messed up and secularized by, you know, Eastern religions and things like that. But the principle stays the same. You're getting quiet. You're settling down. You are quieting down the voices of your mind and of your life. You're turning off devices. You know, they are a tool and they are a help, but they can also be a major distraction. So you got to put those things aside. Listen, this is God, your best friend. Have you ever been around a friend or an acquaintance and all they did was just stare at their phones while they were with you? Well, you're not going to really, I mean, and sometimes people are busy, and I'm not judging them for that. I'm just saying that you're not always going to be able to get into deep conversation that way. But man, if you really need an answer, and this is, you know, to you, serious business, turn things off and set it aside. I've been on road trips, and that's one of my favorite places to pray and seek the Lord is on road trips. Just turn the music off, turn things off, and just pray and listen. Pray and listen. What am I listening for? Am I listening out here in the airwaves, you know, or in the audible sounds that are, you know, giving vibration across my eardrums? No. I'm talking about I'm listening down in my spirit. On the inside. I'm listening on the inside. Amen. Well, let's continue with this, and you'll see more about what I'm talking about here. Verse 20 of John 5. It says, for the Father loveth the Son. Let me say that again. For the Father loveth the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. Now, check this out. The word love there, there's three different kinds of Greek word used under the same word printed in English, which is love. There's eros, there's phileo, and there's agape. We know that God is synonymous with the word agape, especially in the book of 1 John. The Bible even says that God is love. But the word here he uses, the writer, John, in relating what Jesus said was the Father phileos the Son. If you look it up in the concordance, the first statement is this. Oh, and it's so good. In fact, I'm going to look up where I took a screen cap of it, and I'm going to share it with you. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. I know you in here somewhere. Actually, it may be in my other device. Anyway, the point is this. Oh, yeah, I got it. It is right here. Thank you, Jesus. It means... to be a friend to. To be a friend to. So put that back into this statement. The Father is a friend to the Son and shows him everything that he does. Hey, that's a game changer. You know why? Because the book of John, the 17th chapter and the 23rd verse says that God loves us just as he loves Jesus. We don't get a second-rate love. We get the same love. Well, if he loves Jesus like he loves us, then he's a friend to Jesus the same way he's a friend to us. Which means Jesus is the prototype son. And we're also his sons. Oh, of course Jesus is the number one, the firstborn, and he is our Lord. But the privileges are the same. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Which means that God's a friend to us like he's a friend to Jesus. Which means God shows us everything we need to see, just like he showed Jesus everything he needed to see. Let's get even more specific than that. God answers our questions of our life, just like he revealed and communicated and showed Jesus what he needed to know. Jesus would tell you. He told people again and again in the New Testament. He'd stop and pray. all night, all morning, and then get up and move. Why? Because that was the next thing God showed him to do. And then he'd stop. Why? Hasn't seen what to do next. But he gives us a clue. He said, in other places, I can only do what he shows me to do. I can do nothing unless he first reveals it to me. The things I'm doing are the things that he showed me. The things I'm teaching is what he told me. But think about the principle here. God is being a friend to you and showing you everything you need to see. Let's get even more specific than that for our discussion tonight. God's being a friend to you means he answers your questions. Amen. So those things you've been just desperate to know, you can stop. Listen, if you're listening by recording, go ahead and stop. Hit pause on me and say this out loud to God. Father, you're my best friend, and you've made me your best friend. Show me the answer to this question and ask him the question. You don't have to be churchy. Just be real about it. Man, show me what I need to do about this. What am I not seeing that would help me really get more results with my faith? Whatever it may be, I'm just saying that, using that as an example. I asked him, I said, sir, I desire a working knowledge of faith. When I said working knowledge, I mean, I want a knowledge of faith that isn't just like, you know, like museum pieces under glass. I want to be able to use it and get results with it. I said that years ago. Did he answer me overnight? He began to give me answers. It just took a little time. But hey, there was no other place I wanted to go. I wanted to get good at this. Let me tell you, even 1 year after that, I felt like I was on a different planet with how much he'd shown me and taught me. And he's still showing me. He's still helping me. But that was a burning question. Like, man, what am I not seeing? I know I'm supposed to get more results. I've decided to live by faith. Help me have a working knowledge of this. Well, listen, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I began to say, God, I'm asking you, give me answers about, I want to have a working knowledge of this subject and a working knowledge of that subject. And he has been so faithful to begin to give me the download and help me see progression, progress. He'd show me this piece. Glory to God, that's amazing. And then a little time later, here's this piece. Oh, wow. Listen, if he gave me all the pieces at one time, it'd be, I've got to use it and grow in it. Now, are we saying that you're only going to get long-term answers? Absolutely not. There are some answers like, how about this? Hey, who do I call about this, getting this car serviced? And people will say, you know, listen, you got to get online and do this and start searching. Hey, that's a good idea. But what is he saying to me? That's my answer. Because when he gives you the answer, it'll work. When he gives you the answer to your question, you can have confidence that you're doing what he wants you to do. There's nothing like stepping out to begin to take steps to fix something or have a question answered or make progress. However, you know, implement a plan. There's nothing like the confidence of knowing that this is what God has shown you to do. And there's nothing sweeter than the victory of doing what he shows you to do. And man, everything just works out awesome. Hallelujah. Remember, he said the Father loves the Son. The Father is being a friend to the Son. That means his best friend showed and taught him everything. Let me use this one as an example for you tonight. Just because we want to establish the precedent. Man, do we even use the word precedent anymore? I think we do legally. We want to make a solid foundation in our lives that God is the one we go to get our questions answered. And so God has used now Jesus as an example. Listen, there's no higher example than that. And then the second example would be Abraham. because Abraham was the first one that successfully walked in blood covenant with God. And he was the first one that God called his friend. And we don't have any, the mystery is revealed. God called him his friend because of the commitment Abraham made to God and called believing. Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and God counted it to him as righteousness. By the decision to make a wholehearted commitment just based on something God promised and declared to him would happen in the future, God took that wholehearted commitment. He's like, "Ooh, I'll take it. That's why. Thank you." Abraham didn't have the whole New Testament explained to him like we've had. He just saw it as, that's what you say. Shook hands. Absolutely. That's the way it's going to be. Abraham knew how to commit, boy. I mean, let me tell you, Abraham knew how to go all in with a friend. And God took it. He said, that's it. That's it right there. That's what I'm looking for. God called him his friend. Amen. Well, so we have Jesus as the highest example. What about Abraham? Let's look at Abraham. Let's go over to Genesis 18:17. We're not going to explain the whole story here. God has come to talk to Abraham about the biggest desire of his heart, which is to have a child. But then God's also going to move on down to address the problem that is Sodom and Gomorrah. And God has, you know, kept his own counsel. He's got a plan. There's more than one reason why he's there to, you know, and basically walking on the earth in the form of three men. And he stops and he says this about Abraham. He's keeping his own counsel. It's not a question so much of will I, won't I, I'm not sure. It's the question is rhetorical. He's made a decision. God's never had a best friend before that he's been able to reveal things to in the form of a man. And he's thinking, I'm not going to hide this from him. This is my friend. I'm going to tell him what I'm doing. So in Genesis 18:17 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Remember now, as believers, as those in blood covenant with God and in best friendship with him, we're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's offspring. We're Abraham's descendants. The Amplified says this, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham, my friend and servant, what I'm going to do? Can you hear how he's asking it? Can you hear the tone in it? I'm not going to hide this from him. I'm going to let him in on this. I'm going to share this with him. Listen, God is getting much benefit from the friendship, just like Abraham is. Friendship's a give and give. Not a give and take. How about this? It's a giving and receiving, not a giving and a taking. The highest form of friendship, man, I like that. The highest form of friendship is a giving and receiving. God's receiving things from Abraham's friendship, just like Abraham's receiving things from God's friendship. He said, and here's God's statement. I'm not going to hide this from my friend. I'm going to share this with him. Get the principle. Write it down. Go look at it. Genesis 18:17. The Lord says, shall I hide from him? God is not hiding answers from you. Our best friend is hiding nothing from us. So let it be written. So let it be done. I think we can do better than a Ramses quote from the Ten Commandments. But listen, God has set that foundation now. He's not hiding anything from you. He's your best friend. He's showing you. He's revealing to you. He's bringing it in. He's welcoming you into his counsel. Us and all, we've also got to know as we pray and believe that he hears you just like you hear him. We've talked about John chapter 10, that we hear his voice. But do you know that in John chapter 11, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. He actually says it this in the King James. Father, thank you that you've heard me. He thanked him in advance for already hearing his prayer. And he says, for I know that you hear me always. Remember who he's talking to. He's talking to his best friend. Not only do we have the foundation that God is our best friend, we can build on that knowing that not only do we hear him, he hears us. You've got a question? Ask him. I like the scriptures like from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, call upon me and I'll answer you. Now, we've heard that in a very official prophet God voice, call upon me and I shall answer you. Well, that sounds kind of scary. How about this from your best friend? Hey, just call me. I'll tell you anything you need to know. I'll show you anything you want to know. Call on me and I'll answer you. It's God's commitment. God has dedicated and committed himself. I'm sticking with you, kiddo. Listen, you just call me and I'll answer you. Can you hear? He's eager. He's waiting to answer you and I. This is who we're getting our answers from. This is who's helping us get answers to our questions. Listen, these questions we have, the reason I'm not trying to overly explain what I mean by questions is because I want you to know your questions are important to God. You may be wanting to know about this, a certain subject with him more than anything else in the world, but it may be different than mine. It doesn't mean it's wrong. There's questions that are shaped by need. There's questions that are shaped by curiosity. And I totally am convinced of this in my own heart. There's questions that the Holy Spirit begins to... The book of Psalms 37 says that God shall give us the desires of our heart. Well, he works with those desires of our heart. And as we bring them to God and ask him, listen, God needs access to our life. As we ask him and begin to look to him for answers to our questions, it gives him access. What you don't know is he's been wanting to answer that question since before you were born. He's been wanting to give you that answer since you were just a little guy. He's been waiting to answer. So he'll have the Holy Spirit work inside our hearts. And we may not even we may not even really know how to answer it. Man, we just want to know about this. Or we want to know how, we want to have an answer to this. A friend of the ministry, he called us up one day. In fact, he texted us on the day before, and then we talked on the day after. But he said, man, I just really want to know about faith. I really want faith. I've heard you've talked about it. I've heard how Kyle's talked about it. And I really want it. And he said, but I'm a skeptic, so I got questions. And I listened to him. And as he's talking, I'm listening to the Lord in my heart down in here. I don't mean out here with using my ear. I mean the inner ear. Jesus said this, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Does that mean some of us don't have him? No, he means this. Use your ears that you've been given on the inside of you and pay attention. Decide to hear this. There's more to hearing than just listening to sound. Man, I never heard it said like that. Lord, thank you for helping me get this out. He's helping me always. I'm always looking to him to help me say things simpler. He's talking about having an attitude of hearing. A hearing attitude. Listen, you and I both know, look at a news debate show. People aren't trying to be heard, and people aren't trying to listen. They're just listening for enough ammo to shoot back with. That's not having an ear to hear. A good-hearted person with a sincere ear to hear, a sincere hearing attitude, will ask God a question, and then will lean in and listen. The Lord said this to me one time. He had just absolutely blessed my socks off over the course of a couple months with a bunch of answers on what I needed next. And man, it was up to that point, it was the best time of my life. I'll tell you absolutely fact. It was the best time of my life. I was growing. He was helping me. I was enjoying my life. I was just so happy. Well, it seems like I kind of plateaued a little bit. You know what I mean by that? Like I was so full. I couldn't do it. And, just began to, not go in circles in a depressing way, but just plateau a little bit. And I said, God, what's going on here? I know we need to go further with you. I desire to go further with you, but it seems like, I brought the situation to him in the form of a question. I just said, well, what do I need to see here? I'll never forget it. I wrote it down, and I can quote it to you verbatim because I've thought about it so many times since then. And here's what happened. Now, notice this. Don't just hear what he said. Hear the situation. I got quiet and listened because I don't have the answer. And I listened down in here. And this is what came up out of here. This is how it was phrased. This is how I perceived it. This is how I received the transmission. And it was this. He said this: take a position of humility before me and assume that you know nothing. Take a position of humility before me. Well, the way that struck me when he said take a position of humility before him, I heard this: just decide to humble myself. Just decide, sir, you know it and I don't. And so I assume nothing. I assume to know nothing. Anything that I think I've heard, think I know, oh, I know that, or I know that. I'm a blank page. And you're the one with the pen. You teach me. Hey, you know, I've gone to take classes before that my friends were teaching. And it's very important to me when they're teaching that I'd be, you know, one of the best students they've ever had. Listen, execute, perform, don't argue with them. Be a good student. Take the download. Well, how much more God? So I did exactly what he said. Like, well, sir, you know, there's always more light you can get, but I'm going to start where I'm at. I said, sir, I just decide to take a position of humility before you, and I humble myself, you know, in your sight. You're my God, and I'm your child. You're my father, and I'm your son. So listen, you talk, and I'll listen. I'm going to get quiet. And just that inward decision, it was like that opened up the next avenue to go forward. Things began to, I began to see more. It was like the plateau, all of a sudden we were on an elevation again. We were moving up, moving forward. So let's put this in here right now. Getting answers to your questions. Psalms 23 also says this, that he leads me in the paths, not path, paths, plural, of righteousness. Isn't that good? He says this in the same Psalm, Psalm 23, that he leads me beside still waters and lays me down in green pastures. These are different locations. Getting to the end of your question sometimes requires that he say things to you now, say things to you along the way, and then say things to you at the end. I know people have, you know, made it kind of like, you know, pop culture psychology, you know, and self-help stuff, and say, you know, it's life is a journey, not a destination. With God, there's both. He took them to the promised land, the children of Israel. But there's a whole lot of things that they learned along the way in order to be able to be in the promised land and enjoy it. What if he just dropped on you your answer and, you know, lightning thundered and earth shook, you know, is, you know, on your inside, so to speak, but you're like, I have no idea what he means by that. It's the answer. It's the truth. But you're like, I don't even know how to use it. You just stick with your best friend and let him take you to your answer. You stick with him and enjoy the journey to your answer. Because he's so good, he's going to give you help now. But if you'll decide to stick with him, he'll give you the whole picture as you go. Do you understand what I mean by that? He leads me. He guides me is what. The two things, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He leads me beside still waters, lays me down in green pastures. Can you see that he's got to maneuver me around some things? Show me this path to get around this rock and go past this snake and to get to, ooh, there's the water over there. And then we're going to go up here a little bit, take a left, and then we're going to get to the nice green grass, so that I can have a full belly. That's where the answers are. Man, I like that so much, Lord. Thank you for this. Is what I just heard in my heart from the Holy Spirit. Let him answer you his way. Stop telling him how to answer you. or resist the temptation to tell him how to answer you. Don't make any assumptions. Just be like a little child and let him answer you his way. He's so good. He's going to show you and help you exactly what you need to see and know. Amen. Now, over in the book of John, chapter 4, I want you to just write the reference down. You can look it up later. John chapter 4 and verse 40, the woman at the well who Jesus spoke to, he said, go call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. He said, you have well said you had five husbands and the one you're with now isn't your husband. Notice he told her what had gone on in her life, but he didn't judge her. That's a great statement. So she said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And so she went off and told the men in the city, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. And they came out and heard him. He had talked to his disciples briefly. And they all came out and they said, and the Bible says that they bid him to stay. So verse 40 of John chapter 4, this is where we'll start. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry or abide, wait, stay with them for a while. And he abode there 2 days. Man, can you imagine having a 2-day personal course with Jesus in the, just glorious. And he said, verse 41, the writer, John, says, and many more believed on him because of his own word. What does that mean? Well, we're about to show you. Verse 42, so these are the same people, said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of what you've said, for we have heard him ourselves. And no. Listen to that statement. There's a lot of people giving out a lot of information. Some of it's good, especially, men and women of faith who are hearing simple but life-changing truth from God. But that material may not be your answer right now. There's a lot of people saying a lot of stuff. Like we said, some of it's really good. So you got this person's answer and this person's answer and this person's statement, and this person's training and this person's material. Where do you go? Look what they said. Now we're confident. Now we believe. Now we have confidence in us. Not just because of what you've said, but we've heard them for ourselves. And then what happened? They knew it. They knew it. I want you to get this statement. I want you to write it down and remember it and keep coming back to it. We can hear from him, God, our best friend, our Lord Jesus, our best friend, and the indwelling Holy Spirit, our best friend. We can hear from him ourselves. Each of us can hear for ourselves. Now, where do you hear him? Now, don't just think here, like we said earlier. Don't just think here as in, hear sound traveling through the ear canal and registering on the eardrum and the nerves and registering in our minds as words and communication. I want you to think, where does God communicate with us? Where does God transmit? Where does God broadcast from? Is it all the way in heaven? Well, the Father is seated on the throne of heaven, and Jesus is at his right hand. Does that mean it's got to travel a long way? I want you to hear this from this verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And do yourself the favor to not be familiar with it, but hear it like you're hearing it for the first time. We are of God. Let me say that again. We are of God. We are united with him. We are of him, from him, connected to him. And he... I apologize. I looked at verse 6, although that's a great verse, because it goes on to say, and he that knoweth God heareth us. I want you to go back to verse 4, not 6. It says, ye are of God. Same statement, just in a different direction. You are united. You are bonded to him. You are connected. And we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, it says that our righteousness endures forever. It's a permanent bond with God. Then it says this, little children, and have overcome them. We've overcome every, look in chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, all the worldly voices, all the voices of darkness and the devil, all the pressure voices, all the doubting voices, we've already overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Ooh, I'm looking over in verse 3. In chapter 3, in verse 24, it says, "And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us." He, God, abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. So who's the greater one that is dwelling on the inside of us? It's the Holy Spirit. So listen, the Holy Spirit really is on the inside of you and me. He's really there. And that's where he is communicating from. That's where he's communicating with you. What he says in your spirit, he'll help your mind to pick up on it. Are there steps we can take to pay more attention? Absolutely. We can decide to be quiet. Get off by yourself. This is training, because as you practice hearing him in quiet, you can easily more and more hear him in your car, in a street, in a store. I've asked him flat out for direction in a store, and I've listened to him and heard him in a busy Walmart or a parking lot. But he helped me practice it in the quiet. And now I could hear him in here. Just about anywhere. I've listened to him on an airplane. Jet noise, people, food and drink carts coming up and down the aisle. Asked him questions. There he is communicating, because he's in there. Decide that you believe right now that the greater one is in you. And that he is greater, and that he is in you. Jesus said that my sheep, John chapter 10, 1 through 4, and there's a verse in the 20s that says that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It's settled that you hear his voice. You have been dialed and tuned in and connected to the God broadcast band. You have been made able in your inner self, in your inner man, the spirit of man. You have been made able to hear him. You have been made able to perceive and accept and receive his communication. Whether that's him showing you, enlightening you to something, communicating with you that seems like it's verbal, or you know, or a still small voice. It's going to be broadcast from your spirit. And listen, as we began to say, we must get quiet. And this is another statement to go with it. Practice listening to our spirit. And here's a decision you can make. We've shared this scripture before, but it's worth hearing again. Psalms 85, 8. It says this: "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints." Notice that decision. I will hear him speak. Well, put that together with what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and in Revelations chapter 3. Sir, I have ears to hear. It's a decision. It's a hearing attitude. I hear what you're saying to me. Thank you. Let's not overlook this either. A question being answered is a gift. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Mark, verse 24, he said, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray." Is asking God a question a form of prayer? Absolutely. But he also says this: don't just get up and walk away. Right there when you pray, decide that you believe that you receive it, that you take that answer. It's a gift. You've made a connection. You've asked him. So go ahead and believe that you receive the answer. How do I do that? Exactly like he just said. It doesn't make sense to your mind, but our mind's not really an asset to us in this situation. We're going to use our mind later. What I mean by that is once we have the answer come up in our heart, then we'll have the light to be able to use our mind properly. But there's more going on than just mind stuff. There's heart and spirit stuff. So I'll ask him a question. Say, sure, sir, I need an answer about this. So I ask him my question, and I say, sir, I believe I received the answer. Thank you. I've got it now. Do you have it? Absolutely. Well, what is it? I haven't seen it yet, but he's helping me. But I wasn't going to leave talking to my best friend without taking what he's giving me. See what I'm saying? All right. Another translation, this is the Passion Translation, says this, that same verse, Psalms 85:8. It says, now I'll listen carefully for your voice and wait to hear whatever you say. I'll listen carefully to your voice and listen and wait to hear whatever you say. Let me read that again. Now I'll listen carefully for your voice and I'll wait to hear whatever you say. Oh, man, that is good. Thank God. He's taking a position of having a hearing attitude by a decision. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to listen. Well, before we go tonight, I think it's important that we answer this question because the Lord brought it up. Because I've heard it from so many people and I asked it, how do I know whether it's me or whether it's God? You can tell by the content. You can tell by the tone, if you will. God's content has a quality to it. Let me read this to you from the book of James in chapter 3. Now, this is another in-depth study that we could take, but just for simplicity's sake, I just want you to hear what James the writer. Now, remember, James the writer, he was Jesus' half-brother, which means same mother, different father, obviously. There was no second Jesus. This was a son of Joseph. Jesus was a son of Jehovah. Amen. Well, but yet Mary was his mother. So he grew up with Jesus and saw how he operated. He says, wisdom, the word wisdom, a very simple definition is knowing what to do. Knowing what to do about it. Well, James writes that there is an earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. You know, listen, don't tell me that folk without a covenant out in the world, sinners and people who haven't become in blood covenant with God or haven't accepted God's friendship, they have things they know how to do. Doesn't mean it's a wisdom from God, though. But verse 17 of James 3 says this, the wisdom that is from above. So it's from a question answered from a different source, and that source is God. You see what I'm saying? And it says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and it's peaceable. Oh, it's peaceful. Whew. There's no anxiety in it. There's no stress and pressure in it. It's peaceful. Then he says, it's gentle and easy to be entreated. It's simple and it's easy to take. And then it says, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's not yes and no. It's not here and there. It doesn't play favorites. One, the Amplified Translation says that it's free from doubts. Man, when you hear it, you just know it. Remember back to what we said from that scripture in the fourth chapter of John, when they came and heard him and they said, now we believe not because of what you said, but because we've heard him for ourselves. And the next statement is, and we know. God's broadcasts are consistent. Psalms 89:34 says that God will not alter the thing that has gone out of his lips. Well, how's that help us? Easy. As you're listening and practicing, listening for the answer to your question or just the next step of it, the next piece of the answer. And as you're listening, man, listen, well, let's just be honest, be frank. Let's be brutally frank about it. You're going to have things that come from all different, you know, out of your mind, an idea will come, this. Your mind's trying to help you, and it's absolutely not an asset right now. But there'll be something that just keeps consistently coming back up out of your heart. It'll seem kind of like a beacon, because it'll just stay consistent. Stay consistent. I used to practice this because this was the biggest question in my life at the time. Lord, where do I even go in the Bible? What do I do next to have personal fellowship and study with you? So I'd wait for an answer. I'd have this book, you know, an idea come and maybe do this and that. And it's just, none of it's gentle. None of it's full of peace. It's all like, it's just you get what I mean. But then I'd have this come up. I thought of a scripture. A couple seconds later, same scripture would come up. And but ooh, I've heard that twice now. Does that mean you just jump and run? Well, I wanted to practice. So I just wait. And out of here, out of my heart, it came up again. Ooh, what's going on? God's communicating with me. And it's consistent. He's not altering the thing going out of his lips. It just keeps on coming, man. It's like, okay. And then after a while, here comes, okay, wow. There it is again. Is it getting louder? No, I'm paying more attention to it. He's helping me recognize it and perceive it. Amen. Well, you can pay more attention to the broadcast signal in your heart. You can pay less. Amen. Well, he's helping me. It's consistent. A scripture that he used to back up the consistency side of it was from the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter has a vision. And what God's dealing with him is to break a institutional several thousand year law about having no fellowship and no basically no joining entertainment with a non-Jewish person. And so God has to do something pretty spectacular to help Peter get over this. Well, he does it three times, but it's God does it, shows Peter the same thing three times. But notice, it's consistent. The Spirit of God kept saying the same thing to Peter. It wasn't a different answer each time. There'd be no consistency in that. It was the same thing three times. What's he doing? Getting it over to Peter. Peter's like, yeah. And he says it the same thing again. Like, okay. And he does it again. Wow. Okay. Got it this time. What's going on? Consistent. So just wait on it. Just wait. And that one that keeps coming back, grab onto it and listen to it. The stuff that keeps coming consistently is from him. And lastly, we want to end on, glory to God. We want to end on this verse. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of John, in verse 13, man, God is so good to us. John 16, verse 13. He said, Jesus said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, when you hear this, keep in mind the 10th verse of the 14th chapter. Jesus said this, I'm going to send you a comforter and he'll abide with you forever. This Holy Spirit is never out for lunch on the inside of you. He's never had to run an errand. He's sticking with you forever. He's the indwelling best friend. Ooh. And it says this, that he will guide you. He guides you to the answer. Leading, in the book of Romans 8, verse 14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Think about leading, guiding. Someone's in front of you who knows where to go. Someone's in front of you who knows where the answer is. Well, hey, great. Just follow him. Who cares if it's just one piece of the answer? I can tell you this. I've never walked away dissatisfied from a piece of the answer that he's given me. You know what's done for me? I'm going to stick around and get the rest. I'm just so excited about this piece. I'm so thankful. Thank you. Because the light has just been so good. Was it the whole thing? No, obviously. Was it enough to get me moving forward? Absolutely. Hey, if you God pull in the Walmart parking lot, listen down in here. Lord, where do I park? Where do you want me to be? And be listening. There? Man, how about over there? Ooh, yeah, that's it. What are we doing? We're practicing getting our questions answered. So then when you have someone who may go home to be with the Lord early and maybe die earlier than you expected, and you ask God for an answer, you're not interrogating him like he's at fault. Why, God? Why? But you can ask him, Lord, why did this happen? And then you wait. I've had questions get answered up to 6 years later. In one case, it was 7. But the answers came. Was God having trouble getting it over to me? It just took a little time, but I got my answer. And I'm so thankful for the answer. He had to show me a lot of things along the way to get to some answers. Some things he's been able just to share with me right off the bat. Just follow him wherever the journey goes. But he wants to give you answers to your questions. Amen. Sometimes there's one stop on the journey, and sometimes there's several stops. Now hear that again. Sometimes there's one stop on the journey to answer your question. Sometimes there's several stops. And you need to hear some stuff before you get to the final answer. But just stick with him. His heart is to show you and teach you everything you need to see. He said the Father loves the Son. The Father is a friend to the Son. Listen, Jesus needed a friend. And his Father was that friend. And he never left Jesus in the dark. And he'll never leave you in the dark. Here's an SOP. Here's a standard operating procedure about how to cooperate with God as you get as you walk this out. As you ask him a question, remember Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. The Passion Translation says this: surrender your anxiety and relax. The footnote translates that as relax. Relax and be silent. And stop your striving. Stop trying to get an answer. Oh, I got to. He said, you'll see that I'm God. God's got the answers to your questions. We've heard that plenty. But he wants to answer yours. And he's ready to help you. He's going to meet you right where you're at. He's going to help you get answers. I hope this excites you like it excites me. You can decide right now, well, then, hey, as soon as I turn this message off and turn off this training block from Brother Duke, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to get quiet with my best friend and ask him my question and wait. It is as good of an investment as you'll ever make. He's your best friend. And he answers your questions. You can get your answers from him personally. Amen. Oh, he's so good to us, isn't he, man? Thank God. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your help tonight. You're the best friend we could ever have. Man, I love you and worship you. Thank you for being so good to these, your people and your best friends. Thank you for helping them. Yes, sir, we decide together. Now, decide this with me. I have ears to hear. I've got a hearing attitude. Sir, I take a position. Now, say this with me. Sir, I take a position of humility before you. And I assume to know nothing. Teach me. Thank you. And do this. And I believe I received the answer. Oh, man, he's awesome. The best friend we could ever have.